So we've started with some great worship music. We've had quite the hiccup, but we've got to celebrate a woman already, a magnificent woman. So, I mean, we have a woman speaker. I mean, that's like the perfect formula for Mother's Day, is it not? So let's go to Proverbs 31. Kidding. We are not doing Proverbs 31. I'm going to do something a little different today. And honestly, if I had gone with Proverbs 31, I probably would have had less of a struggle. Because Mother's Day is a little bit different for me, so you kind of get a different perspective today. Many of you know I'm not a mother. I do not have children. I do not plan to have children, and I really haven't been blessed with that desire to have kids. I do have fur babies, but the gifts they leave me are not necessarily fun. So where's that? I do not have a great relationship with my birth mother. We've had probably 3 interactions the last 3 years, and they haven't been necessarily pleasant. I pray for her. I've spoken to her about the Lord. It's just waiting for her time. I lost the woman I did consider a woman in 2020. So I don't have her around anymore. And this is honestly the first Mother's Day I felt okay. And a lot of you guys will understand that for those who have lost parents. So I was struggling with today on what to speak on, what to bring today on Mother's Day, of all things, and already having that kind of imbalance for myself on top of it being such a good day of celebration and heartfelt love and women and empowerment and all these things. And I'm just like, what do I have to contribute? But I know that being a youth pastor and being in children's ministry, I have impacted the next generation. I've had a hand in a lot of kids. I still talk to some of my youth kids as they're going into adulthood. And I got to thinking about that and how the older generation has also impacted me, because I wouldn't have as much knowledge as I have today if someone else hasn't poured time into myself. So you ladies without kids and stuff, and we also have that to look to, that we have influenced a good broad of generations. And I got to thinking, well, what does that also sound familiar? I know someone who doesn't have any children, who has impacted generation after generation, whose teachings are still being conducted today, someone who doesn't have children, but all children belong to him. And I got that kind of thought tumbling around in my head as I was writing this down. It's like, Jesus didn't have children, but he's still our Father. And I got to thinking, what does Jesus do throughout his lifetime when he was on earth? He acted as a father, but he also gave information. He also taught. He also mentored. He also gave guidance to the disciples. He was a teacher. And I got to thinking, we are to be called like Jesus, which means even if we don't have children, we are also called to teach, just as he taught. And I love this particular verse. Oh, good, it's up there. Again, he began to teach by sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him. And he got into a boat on the sea and sat down. While the whole crowd was on the shore facing the sea, he taught them many things in parables, and in his teachings he said to them. And it continues on. But what I wanted to focus on is I love that this verse starts with again. Because what does that mean? We can assume this, you know, this isn't the first time. But this has already been a pattern that he's familiar with, that his disciples and that his followers are familiar with. And it's not just these two verses. If you continue on, you see many, many, many examples of Jesus being a teacher, a guider, a mentor, someone to be worthy of following. And as you see, I've listed just a few, but 45 times in the Gospels, the 4 books that Jesus has mentioned as teacher directly. And I get that not all of us are called to, you know, stand on a boat and preach to a crowd of tons. Not all of us are called to stand on this platform. But the point is, we're called. Children or no children, we are called to teach, to do. In fact, it is such an important calling. It is called the Great Commission. Go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything you have commanded of you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of age. And now I ask you, when was the last time you've done any of this? When was the last time you could admit that you've mentored a disciple? That you have done biblical teaching? That you have shared the gospel with someone? That you have brought up the name Jesus to anyone within the last few days, within the last week, within the last month? And I'm not just talking about those of us here today. I mean, we're here. We already got one step in the door. I'm talking about out there in the world. Because we're also called to teach, not only in this building, but in the world. So I ask, why are we not? Why are we not going through our daily lives doing as we are called to do? I had a coworker. I miss this coworker so much. We would joke around that anytime someone had to say something about themselves, it wasn't true. So if they're going around saying, "I'm a genius," we would giggle around saying, "If you have to say it, it's not true." Or if they're saying, "I'm a hard worker," you have to say it's not true. And the point was, because obviously, if you're going around being it, you shouldn't have to call attention to it. Everyone should just know it. And we go through lives shedding different titles. This is so-and-so my son. This is so-and-so my daughter. This is my mother. This is my father. This is what I do for work. This is how I provide. I'm a grandparent, I'm a homemaker, I'm a director, I'm whatever it is. And we have these different titles that we go throughout life. But whenever you ever heard anyone actually say, "This is so-and-so the Christian," or "I'm so-and-so the Christian." Because if you have to say it, is it true? Because it should be by your actions that you know it's true. And if you have people who come up to you and be like, "You're Christian?" What are your actions doing? Because you should be teaching and leading by example. You're called to service. You're called to promote. You're called to do. Called to evangelize. So how are we not? We need to do by our actions to know that we are Christian. And I got to thinking, what are some of the reasons why people are so hesitant to share so freely? And we are in a society where we just love to tear each other down. It's always one side against another side. It's color against color. It's this against that. It's male against female, to the point where it fundamentally, the two differences that we were created with in the beginning of time have now become such a big, hostile, and aggressive conversation. There's two. Get over it. But I got to thinking, what are some of the hesitations? Why are we just not stepping into that role? And these are the three things that just kept reoccurring to me. Why people are hesitating to do as called. And the first one is it because you don't feel like you've had the opportunity? You get opportunities every day. It's not necessarily something you have to really overthink. You're called to be a teacher in your daily life, a teacher of Jesus. How many in here are parents? you're a teacher. And you may not have all been a Christian as the time that your kids were growing up, but you are now. And you've spent so much time pouring into that next generation of yours. And it wasn't just, you know, if you were or were not Christian at the time that you were raising them, but you also taught them other life lessons. Yeah. You taught them how to survive, how to live, how to socialize, how to love. Parents, you are the first teacher in a home. And it isn't just for that generation that is in your roof. It is for all generations. You look around this room, and there is such a collective amount of knowledge, just a whale of it. From Zoomer to Boomer. I did that for Pat. And the Silent Gen. I know some of you are there too. But you've taken the time to impart knowledge into your children. How to change a tire, how to bake, how to cook. Did you take the time to give salvation, to give that knowledge? But using those other tools, not just for your own children, but for others, can be also as beneficial. Someone may not be as willing to be approached with knowing about Jesus, but if you take the time to teach someone a skill that you've taught your children. And it doesn't even have to be children. We always think of teaching as this formal atmosphere. We gotta sit down in our desks, take the state testing. I don't know how it's done in Utah, I'm sorry. I'm assuming you guys have state testing. I don't know, I found out this week you guys don't have a high school exit exam. So I'm like, you guys just graduate. You just graduate, I love it. But we always think about it as like, it has to be this way. You have to sit down, it has to be by a professional, it has to be someone who's credentialed and someone who knows what they're doing, like fully inward out, who knows why 2 + 2 = 2 or = 4. Obviously, I'm not credentialed to teach. Maybe it's Utah math, I don't know. But we have such skills and knowledge that we can pass on, and that is literally a door in for someone. At my youth camp I went to last year, they taught the girls how to change a tire. And during this method, they did a lesson in Jesus. And it was really amazing because the girls were so into it. They were on the ground, they were peeking in, they were using their lug nuts. I don't know how to change a tire. They were just so enamored with it. But it was that connection. I was taking pictures. But yes, we have these skills to pass on. And we have these younger generations that are coming up. And if you notice that some of our skill level in these newer generations are becoming different. Non-existent or just in a different set. I'm a millennial. I know. And we've gotten a lot of grief for being born in a generation that I had no choosing. I just grew up in it. And the older generation, I mean, how do you expect me to learn to grow or be comfortable with coming up to another generation saying, I need help, I need skills, when that generation is like millennial? And I can't blame it too, because I'm like, my generation to the next generation is like Tide Pods. I mean, I can do the same thing. But if you see the generation is struggling with certain things, maybe you should step out and help guide them. You know, first lesson, don't eat toxic stuff. Next generation to, you know, the millennials, let's teach you how to do some budgeting. The schools aren't teaching those soft skills. We need to step up. And not just in the home. Find someone out there to mentor and disciple. Bring them closer to Jesus by reaching out and teaching them, starting with those teaching steps. The next one was qualifications. How many feel unqualified to teach Jesus, teach about Jesus? A good portion of us, right? Something I hear all the time is, I want to serve, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to start. Well, eventually that also becomes an excuse. Because it isn't just sitting around waiting for that light bulb moment. It's taking actions into it. And I love Chosen. I mean, a good most of us have watched it. But Jesus is in the show, and the Bible, Jesus is, I like how it's dramatized, is what I'm saying. I like how it's dramatized in this particular scene when Jesus is telling the disciples to go out, to be out on his authority, to go do. And they're like, huh? And then they start making these excuses of why. They're not qualified. They don't have the authority. They can't do. And these men were with Jesus. They got firsthand knowledge passed on to them. But yet they still think they're not qualified enough. And those people who are just sitting around thinking, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. Well, start at the beginning of when you started your commitment to Jesus. Yeah. Start with who you were before to who you are now. You're qualified. Yep. And I know that some of our callings aren't necessary as public as some. I do not feel that I am qualified to teach, but that I know is the enemy. Oh, yeah. I know it is. And I don't know why it thinks you think you have to have some formal education to be a disciple. I mean, Michael and I, we did not go to Bible college. I went to a California university. And I came out a Christian still. I mean, right? Right? I did not go to seminary. We did not go to seminary. We did not have a special class on how to write a sermon. I've had one public speaking class, and I was so green, I felt like I was going to throw up every day I had to do a speech. I wouldn't eat all day. And then I would even wear my glasses, because they're reading glasses, so everyone was blurry. It was terrifying for me, but yet, here I am today, live, even, answering a calling, a gifting. So if you think you're not qualified, I don't know who's giving out these qualifications. I don't. And I know that you guys, those of you who are parents, did you feel qualified to being parents? Not at all. And it wasn't perfect, right? If any of you guys did have a perfect rearing of your children, you need to write that book and make millions. But you still did it. And yes, there were mistakes, but there's also mistakes that you'll make as a Christian. But thankfully, we have grace.
That's right.
We can be forgiven, move on. We are qualified. Or is it because you feel uncomfortable? Is that a reason why you're not stepping out? Guess what, guys? We are not called to be comfortable.
That's right.
We are called to be uncomfortable. We are called to grow, stretch, be uncomfortable. And I noticed a lot lately that this is one of the harder ones for people, is to being uncomfortable. I am not comfortable this current moment. That feeling inside when you get at that uncomfortable situation, you know what I mean? Like that feeling right here, you know, where it's like your heart's beating and you get that tension and you're like, I'm gonna die. It's uncomfortable. I don't like it. But you know what? I'm going to rebuke it and step out of my comfort zone, get off my high knee, and do what God has called me to do. Amen. And if you are coming in and you are just not happy because someone sat in your seat, or if you cannot focus on the sermon because of the pastor's shoes, true story, or if you are throwing a hissy because you are slightly out of your normal routine in your service, guess what? That's good. Don't combat it, because that's the enemy. The enemy wants you to be comfortable, because comfortable equals complacency, and complacency equals open for enemy attack. So what are you doing in your service? Are you sitting in comfortable, lukewarm water? Because we know what the enemy says, or we know what the Bible says about lukewarm water. You're either moving forward, growing, and being uncomfortable, or you're sitting in cold water. Because walking through these doors and not answering that call, that's lukewarm. If you're just come to sit. And this is for every generation. This is for male or female. It's for all. And we need to give everybody that chance to enter into the kingdom of Jesus, or into the kingdom of God, even if it's uncomfortable. And we all know we have family members who we are struggling because we want them to celebrate eternity with us. And some of us have taken that courage and that uncomfortability to talk to that person. But what about those who are different than what you believe in? How uncomfortable is it to talk to them? But is it that they're any less deserving? I have a coworker. Michael's mentioned these coworkers who identify as non-binary, all that information. And they do come in my office in and out. And I had this person in my office, and we're talking. He's telling me about their weekend and such. And I heard outside my door, there is a young woman who's in college. She's LDS. She's doing a paper and has to interview someone for one of her classes. But the person that she has to interview has to be different than what she thinks about, like different from her beliefs fundamentally. And she was talking to another non-binary person, and she was going off and say, hey, do you want to interview? I have to go with someone who's, I have to think is wrong and do this interview, and it has to be controversy and stuff like that. And the non-binary person that's sitting in front of me is like, I'm so frustrated with that, because I don't want to be known as so-and-so the non-binary. I just want to be known as so-and-so a person. And I don't know why we've come to a part in society where we think, because we don't accept the sin, we have to hate the person. I mean, I do not agree with gender swapping, but I can still treat that person with respect. I used to sit on a board, and Taft sat on a few, but there's one who was, it was like a sit and sip, and a bunch of the higher-ups in town would come together and talk about town and networking and stuff like that, and I would always get frustrated the way they would direct the homeless, because they talked about them as if they were just animals. And I would be like, you're the town's leaders. Some of you go to church regularly, and you're talking about another human in this manner? And I know Michael's mentioned the one where the homeless person passed away and the guy was irritated that he had to go around, call the ambulance. And it's like, when have we come to a point in society when we have that much just callousness. And I know we all have our own particular hang-ups on certain things. I particularly struggle with addicts, mostly because that's the home I came from. Some, it's homeless. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't step out in our uncomfortability and reach out to those people. Because the thing we can do is at least plant those seeds. As I've known, as I've been with my mother, I have reached out, I've given her information, and I know that is as far as I can go. I can live the life I've been called to do and hope that my example and my teachings will stick one day. And it's the same with any population that's we not don't agree with or struggle with. And that non-binary person that's sitting in my office telling me, I just want to be a person. That's heartbreaking, yes. That they would think they're anything less than. And I do my best. I don't make it a secret that I'm a pastor. And they know I am. And it is funny that they come and talk to me about, you know, just normal stuff. And I do those subtle hints. Like I do it subtly. You know, I kind of plant myself. I live the life. I try to let the light shine through me, and hopefully those rays reach them. And it's the same with, like, you know, the homeless population. Like, they have to come to a point where they have to make their own decision, but they should at least hear it. They do deserve the chance to at least have the knowledge placed in front of them. And what they do with that, that's their business in God. Here's the information. If you want to change your life, you are free to do so. And that goes in through the next steps. Like, here's the information. It's uncomfortable to share, but here it is. This is where I came from. This is where I am today. This is where you could be. Let's throw in some education there. How did you end up homeless? What are the steps that we can backtrace to kind of reverse that a little bit? And eventually, I'm hoping with those people at work, I can get to that point where it's like, where did you start thinking this was okay? Yeah. And there's one more that wasn't on my slide that we tend to struggle with. It's whether or not we believe we are good enough to teach. Because we may think we're underqualified just because it's a little nervous. We may be a little, that anxiety talking to someone out. But I think fundamentally it is that we believe we are not good enough to share this. But you are. You are good enough to share Jesus. To plant that seed in someone else's life. You're not responsible for what comes after, but you are good enough to start the ball rolling. Now, I know as parents, I've had some observations. I know you guys love hearing information about being parenting from a non-parent. I know it's your favorite, right? But I've had some observations throughout the years. From being a youth pastor, children's ministry, friends with kids, siblings with kids. And one of the things that a lot of parents struggle with is, are they good enough or doing well enough for their children? And you can see the correlation I'm making between parenting and teaching because it goes hand in hand. But parenting is, or teaching is lifelong. You're a lifelong learner. You're also a lifelong teacher, because you're called to Jesus Christ, you are meant to teach, that will not end. But parenting does. You'll always be a mom, you'll always be a father. That will never change. But when you're trying to parent your 30-year-old, good luck. But when you're trying to teach your 30-year-old, mentor your 30-year-old, that's different. Because now you're coming along beside them. And I know parents struggle with that good enough well enough and stuff. And I just wanted to remind you that parenting hasn't necessarily been the easiest historically. I mean, if you look at the very first parents, it wasn't a success either. And mothers, when you think you are struggling and just not good enough and you're down low, just remember, you're not Eve. You didn't cause the downfall of men. I mean, I know there's no parenting books and stuff in her case. You know, there's no Google or YouTube or like that. But giving birth to the next generation, them being a parent, look what happened to that first generation. You have the first murderer. Cain killed Abel, and then Seth had a lot of pressure. And now we see that real nice dynamic where the oldest child's the bully, middle child has a complex, the youngest is always the favorite. Eldest child. And yes, I was a bully. And yes, I did contemplate murdering a sibling. But it isn't meant to be easy. That's the point. We are meant to overcome, evolve, become better, and then pass on that knowledge to the next generation. I mean, we got the Ten Commandments after murder, eventually. But we are good enough to spread the Gospels. I know this has been a little bit of a different message. And I am going to wrap up early today because I know you guys are all gung-ho to spend all that time with mothers. And I just want to leave off with this message is that, mothers, you are good enough. You are loved enough. Teachers, same. You have a gift, you have an ability, spread it on. Now, if I can call the worship team up here real quick. I heard this song that they're about to play last year at a youth conference, and I thought, this is such a great song to empower our youth. I think it was actually a girls' thing we went to. And I heard a couple weeks ago at a women's conference, and I'm like, this is such a perfect song to share on Mother's Day. Because with all that doubt and stuff that goes on, I have one more verse if we can get it up. I have one more verse. We are good enough. We need to stop doubting. We need to stop letting the enemy plant that seed in us. Instead, let that be killed out so that we can move forward. As I said, there is no such thing as a perfect parent. There is no such thing as a perfect teacher, save one. And we are to emulate to be like that person, Jesus. That even though Adam and Eve made a big mistake, there was still a plan to reconcile. There was still that given to them. They were still given that gift. It wasn't removed. We have it today. God's love was so revealed among us in this way that God sent his one and only Son into the world that he might live through him. Love constant in this, that not that we loved, but that he has loved us and that he has sent his Son to provision for that sin. Mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And we are still loved. Amen. And we are still called. Yes. The only thing that can separate us from that is to turn away completely, to refuse it holy. But if we make a mistake, we are forgiven. And we are always welcome to come back to him. So I'm going to invite you to stick around and listen to this song as we enter a little bit more worship. At the end, we'll do an altar call for anyone who wants to come up and invite additional prayer. I encourage you to spend time with those ladies in your lives today, but to teach. Impart your knowledge to someone.
Who said that you weren't beautiful and that you didn't belong in your own skin? Who said that you were all alone and that you're never gonna find love again? So many little words, so many little lies that have followed you all of your life. Looking for the truth, look into your eyes, and you'll see it's been there the whole time. Ooh, even when you were running, even when you were hiding, never been a moment that you were not perfectly loved. When you barely believed it, when your eyes couldn't see it, every single moment you've always been perfectly loved. As the wounds of the world became his. See the kindness heaven has for you, and how he's always been drawing you in. So many open doors, so many miracles that have followed you all of your life. Looking for the truth,
looking for the truth,
look into your eyes. Every single moment you've always been perfectly loved. Ooh, perfectly loved. You're not a problem. You're not a mistake. Don't need fixing or solving. In the arms of his grace, you're perfectly perfectly loved. Even when you were running, even when you were hiding, never been a moment you've always been perfectly loved. When you barely believed, when your eyes couldn't see it, every single moment you've always been perfectly loved. Perfectly loved. You've always been perfect.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we are so perfectly loved, God. Like, we can't fathom that it is so much love, God. And even though we run, you chase, and you don't get tired, God. Mothers and fathers in here today, you know what it's like to chase those toddlers and getting tired and exhausted and the frustrations and the discomfort and the denial and the doubt. But God, you can cover that all. That your embrace is the most comfortable, peaceful gift that we could ever have. Help give us the strength to pass that on to generation, from person to person, that whatever situation they're in, God, give us the courage, the confidence. Help us to know we are good enough. Our love is perfect enough to spread on. Continue to bless this day. Bless our paths. Bless the people we have interactions with from our day to day, that they know we are Christian. Not because we say it, because we act it, God. Continue to bring your peace and comfort to us in the only way, in the only perfect way you can, Lord. Yahweh, breath of life, you are all. In your heavenly name I pray, amen.